بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وآله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهداه، أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. We have one hadith left in the chapter that deals with oaths and vows, and this is hadith number 369. And who will read this hadith for us? Okay.
Narrated Ka'b bin Malik, I said to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a proof of my true repentance, I shall give all my property for the sake of Allah and His Prophet. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, keep some of your wealth, for that is better for you.
Okay, first of all, who's Ka'b ibn Malik? If you know, raise your hands. Okay, you don't know. One, yes.
The companion who had left behind in the Battle of Tabuk.
Very good. One of the three companions who were left behind in Ghazwat Tabuk and had no excuse. And Ka'b ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with him, is one of the three poets of the Prophet ﷺ. The Prophet had three poets, Hassan ibn Thabit, Abdullah ibn Rawaha, and Ka'b ibn Malik, may Allah be pleased with them all. So we know the story of Ka'b, that he was left behind, and when the Prophet came, ﷺ, all the hypocrites who did not go, who lagged behind, came and gave their excuses, and the Prophet ﷺ expelled them and accepted their excuses, leaving their intention to Allah. Ka'b came and said to the Prophet, by Allah, if I say anything to you, you may accept it, because I'm a person of eloquent speech. I can say beautiful things. I'm a poet. But I know that Allah Azza wa Jal knows the reality and He will expose me. Therefore, O Prophet of Allah, I had no excuse. So the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, as long as you have said the truth, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge you. And he ordered the people not to talk to him, to boycott him completely. So they did this for about 40, 50 nights. And then the Prophet ordered his wife also not to talk to him. So he's completely isolated. No one in Medina. He walks into shops. He sees his relatives, his cousins, Salaamu Alaikum, and nobody looks at him or answers him, as if he was not there. And he was strong. He said, my two companions who did not go, they stayed home crying. I was strong. I would not sit home. I would go out and meet people, but no one would speak to me. I'd go to the masjid and pray, but no one would look at me. When the Prophet told the wives not also to speak with them, and he felt so depressed, Allah Azza wa Jal revealed the ayah in Surah At-Tawbah, chapter 9, telling us about their story and how they lag behind. And then Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Fear Allah and be among the truthful, among the honest, the one who says the truth, like Ka'b ibn Malik. And Allah has accepted his repentance and it's gone. So he was so happy, so joyful. He said, O Prophet of Allah, part of my repentance that I give all of my wealth to Allah Azza wa Jal. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told him, keep some of your money because you have a wife, you have children, you have to take care of yourself. So Allah has accepted your repentance. No need for you to give all of your money away. And scholars differed whether it is permissible for a person to keep some of his money, or he is instructed to keep two-thirds of his money. So if someone says, all of my money is for Allah, there is a hadith that the Prophet ﷺ told one of the companions, spend only one-third and keep two-thirds. So some scholars say this is what has to be done. Other scholars say, no, what is to be kept is what is sufficient for you and your family. Whether it is less than one-third or more, it depends on your wealth and your livelihood. And the rest should be for the cause of Allah, the Almighty. So this is what we can learn from this hadith. And we move on. You have a question. Yes, Akhi.
I have a question regarding if a person, he vows and he does not fulfill it, nor does he expiate it, then what will be the punishment in the year after?
There are lots of sins that we're not told about their punishment in the hereafter. But we know that they are haram. So if a person vows and does not fulfill his vow and does not even expiate, he'll be punished. because he broke the covenant that he had with Allah Azza wa Jal. What his punishment is, this is something we cannot elaborate because we don't have knowledge on that. It's like saying, if a woman goes without wearing the hijab, what is her punishment? I don't know. If a person shaves his beard, it's a sin. What is his punishment? Do we put tar on his skin? Allah knows best. I cannot elaborate on that. Hadith number 370.
Narrated Aisha radiallahu anha, Allah's Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever innovated something which is not in our religion, that thing is rejected. In another narration, whoever does something that is not in accordance to our religion, it is rejected.
Now, this hadith of Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, is one of the fundamentals of Islam. And scholars say that Islam revolves all around three hadiths. Hadith Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ, verily that deeds are judged by their intention. Hadith of Aisha, مَنْ أَحْدَثَ فِي أَمْرِنَا مَا لَيْسَ مِنْهُ فَهُوَ رَدْ, whoever innovates in our religion what's not part of it, it is rejected. And the hadith of An-Nu'man ibn Bashir, may Allah be pleased with the man with his father, halal is clear and haram is clear, and between them there are doubtful matters or dubious matters. Scholars like Imam Shafi'i, Imam Ahmed bin Hanbal, other great imams and scholars say that Islam revolves around these three main pillars. And this hadith deals with the actions. Hadith of Umar deals with the intentions. But Hadith Aisha deals with actions, meaning that you cannot expect an action that does not go side by side with the Quran and Sunnah to be accepted by Allah. Anything that does not go under the guidelines of the Quran and Sunnah is rejected. Allah will not accept it from you. It is rejected, it is void. And we took one of the hadiths before, earlier, in the prescribed punishment on zina. When the hired man who fornicated with his employer's wife, and the father of that hired man gave compensation of 100 sheep and a slave girl. Was this accepted? The Prophet rejected that, alayhi wasalam. He told him, give back the sheep and the slave, because whoever innovates in the religion that's not part of it is rejected. And this cascades on every single thing that is related to religion. And why do we put between inverted commas in that is related to religion? Someone would come and say, you're wearing a watch. This is an innovation. And the Prophet did not have watches. You're riding cars. You're wearing clothes that are not similar to the Prophet's clothes, alayhi salam. Innovation, the Prophet said, whoever innovates in our matter, in our religion. So anything that is not part of the religion, you can use and enjoy. Airplanes, microphones, carpets, air conditioning, lights, all of these things are not related to religion. Someone goes into the masjid and says, look, the imam is using a microphone. This is bid'ah. This is innovation. And I said, no, it's not. He said, it's related to the masjid. I said, akhi, if there was no electricity or no microphones, would people pray or stop praying? No, let's wait until the electricity is restored. No, they will pray. So it's not related to religion. It is helpful. It may consider it to be part of the means that facilitate things, but it is not part of the religion. So this hadith tells us that Allah does not accept any form of worship unless it is in accordance to the way of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And when the three men came to the Prophet's house sallallahu alayhi wasalam, asking about his forms of worship, and they belittled it, and one of them said, I will never sleep at night. I will keep on praying until dawn. And the other one said, I will never marry. And the third one said, I will never break my fast. Did the Prophet approve of that? No. He said to them, whoever chooses a sunnah other than my way, then he's not from among us. He's not from me. He's not following me. And that is why you'll always find in the Quran, الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, amanu, it deals with the intention. Amilu salihat, offered good deeds, comply and follow this hadith. Also in the last ayah of Surah Al-Kahf, فَمَنْ كَانَ يَرْجُوا لِقَاءَ رَبِّهِ فَلْيَعْمَلْ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. This is doing good righteous deeds in accordance to hadith of Aisha. وَلَا يُشْرِكْ بِعِبَادَةِ رَبِّهِ أَحَدًا. And this is related to hadith Umar. Deeds are judged by intention. So all the time, you find these two going together. Allah does not accept any form of worship unless two conditions are fulfilled. One intends Allah by it. Two, it complies with the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. And this is why we use this hadith when we talk about judging between the two parties. We judge through the sunnah of the Prophet alayhi salam, not through anything else, and we implement the instructions mentioned in the Quran and the sunnah so that we would fulfill and go side by side with the instruction of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. We have a short break. Stay tuned, and inshallah, we'll be right back.